Rebecca Gale is in the studio with me. She's a former Cincinnatian, now living and working in Washington, D.C. She's here tonight to talk about her first novel, which is titled Trying, Some Kind of Love Story.
Hi, thanks so much for having me today.
I'm delighted to welcome you back to Cincinnati.
Thank
and
you.
To talk about this exciting event. There are three narrators in Trying that we'll come back to in a minute, but at the center of your novel and their lives is a place called Knowledge, with a capital K, and the head of it is a man named Heartbright. So would you tell us a bit about what this organization is?
Well, Knowledge is a place, it's fictitious, but it's a place in Washington, D.C., where their researchers uncover secrets, things that have happened in our lives, in Americans' lives, that they don't have a ready explanation for. So they dig into this, and in doing so, they come across classified material. And Heartbright, as you mentioned, has found a new way to pioneer classified research. He's made it dangerous. He's made it radioactive. So too much research is actually a very dangerous thing. And one of my characters, Cal, gets very involved in his project and is in danger of his own life because there's so much radiation involved in what he's uncovering.
You know, I think there are researchers actually who think that if we spend too much time in our analytical brain, which could be equated with the radioactivity, that's when we burn out. That's when we go into addiction and so forth. So it was interesting to me to read about it metaphorically, if you will, on that level. Let's do talk now about these three characters. They're 20, 30-something, two men and a young woman, and they actually share the narration among them. So let's start with Mandy.
Mandy is a recent college graduate who's moved to D.C. with her boyfriend and thinks Washington, D.C. is a great city, has a lot to offer her. And I really base that on a lot of people, myself included, who graduated from college, moved to Washington and wanted to make a difference in the world, who see this exciting city with a lot to offer and a place to meet other young people. Through Mandy, I try to capture some of that idealism of what it's like to graduate and enter the world and believe that the world is your oyster. She gets a job. She's very happy with it. She likes being a professional. And she is nervous because her boyfriend is becoming increasingly caught up in his work. And she learns that it's dangerous. And at first, she's reluctant to believe that. But later, she's forced to accept that what he's doing could have very real consequences.
Part of how she learns this is through a character whose name is MJ. But let's talk about Cal first, because Cal is the boyfriend.
Yes. So Cal was a very exciting and interesting character to write. There's a lot of people in Washington, D.C. who are very driven, who see their career and their ambition as the principal motivation in their life. And I wanted to take that for Cal and put it into, as you said, a metaphor of what it could mean for it to be dangerous, for him to be giving a lot up to be pursuing his life's work. Cal becomes obsessed with the past. He dives into his research. He chooses to be unaware of the consequences. And when he's forced to realize that this is very dangerous for him, he has a hard decision to make. And without giving away the end of the book, he really needs to know if he's okay with not knowing what has happened in the past, or if he's willing to risk his life and compromise and hurt the people around him to find something out.
So who is MJ?
MJ works at Knowledge, and to make Knowledge this organization with the potential for danger, I knew it would have to have safeguards. As with the government, many government organizations, there's a safety net system in place if something goes wrong. It's sort of like a human resources department. MJ is a counselor. He works at Knowledge, and his job is to take researchers like Cal, sort of warn them that they're not on a good path, and try and get them back onto a safer path. So MJ has this great track record. He's worked with researchers before. He has a perfect record. They've gotten back on track, and they've done well at Knowledge. So he's really a golden child there. Then he gets Cal's case, and it's much harder. He finds himself really torn. So he reaches out to Mandy early on in the book to say, "Your boyfriend's in trouble." And at first, Mandy's very reluctant to believe him. But she learns to trust him. And over time, he realizes he has feelings for her. You see that the reader will go through MJ's own struggle of trying to save Cal while at the same time maintaining a relationship with Mandy because he comes to value her and wants to look out for her almost as much as he wants to look out for Cal.
And he sees what's missing in Cal and Mandy's relationship also.
And he sees what's missing in his own life. By the time the reader meets MJ, he's dedicated so much of his life to work, to knowledge, and to Heartbright. He realizes he wants a little bit more room in there for someone special, for a relationship. And Mandy's the first person who's sort of given him that peek as to what that world would be like. You see him, I guess, evolve throughout the book to somebody who really values that.
Well, part of what's interesting also, if we go back to secrets and the fact that this organization, Knowledge, deals with secrets, is that both Cal and MJ have secrets, if you will, from their past that are driving them in many ways. So a good deal of the suspense of the novel, for me, built over this whole concept of secrets and what does it do in your life.
I agree. I think everybody in the world has a secret or some motivating force that has built them into where they are. And both MJ and Cal have these secrets that come from their families, who they are, and it's really made them the person they've become. It was important to me to include those backstories, particularly rooted in current events, things that have happened in our own lifetime. There is a little bit of fiction within the sense that these events take place in a slightly different timeline. But it was important to me to include things that have happened. Without giving too much away, someone who picks up the book will recognize things from their own lifetime that have happened and see how different people have been affected by those.
We talked a little bit about you drawing on your own experience of being in Washington. So tell us what you've been doing in Washington, D.C., and how this factored into the book.
Well, surprisingly enough, I've been in Washington, D.C. for 10 years. It goes by very quickly. But when I moved there in 2002, I wanted to work on Capitol Hill. MJ's sister, Julie, is a Hill staffer. And while she has a small part, it was very important for me to include that piece of that because I believed that being a Capitol Hill staffer was one of the greatest jobs you could have, particularly as a young person who really wanted to get a front row seat to the way government works. I did that initially. I worked on Capitol Hill for about 8 years, most recently for Senator Rockefeller as his press secretary, which is a job that I really enjoyed. And then I made the move to a newspaper that covers Capitol Hill. It's called Roll Call. And for any Capitol Hill staffers used to receiving that paper every day in their inbox, either in hard copy and in email, it's a great company, and I'm a contributing editor.
Talk a little bit about the actual writing of the book and the process for you and surprises or help along the way.
I had always loved writing, and I had always wanted to write a novel. This was not the novel I expected to write. There's a science fiction element to it. Mm-hmm. And science fiction was not something that I had written before. But Boxfire Press was doing a short story anthology, and they had a call for submissions to basically put a short story out there that had a science fiction element and had to include a red scarf. So the collection was aptly titled Red. So I submitted a short story. It was called Trying Too Hard. It was about Cal and MJ and Mandy, told only from Mandy's perspective, and Boxfire Press liked it. I was fortunate to be accepted, and then we spoke about how there was enough there on the short story, potentially to expand it to a novel. I jumped at the opportunity. 1 year later, here we are. We figured this out in December of last year. I turned in my first draft in July. We had several rounds of edits, which I mentioned earlier were quite the arduous process, but I believe the book is much better for having been edited as closely as it was. And I was fortunate to work with some great editors at Boxfire who gave us a lot of time. And for a first-time author like myself, I probably needed the extra assistance. Some of the edits were very easy. Some of them were more tricky. But I'm very happy with the way the book turned out.
Well, so am I. It was a wonderful read. And I'm delighted to talk with you about it and congratulate you on the publication of your first novel.
It's been very exciting, and I'm really glad to be here speaking about it.
Thanks for coming to visit with us.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
I've been talking with Rebecca Gale about her novel. It's titled Trying, Some Kind of Love Story, and you can find out more about it at WVXU.org or around Cincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.